This episode is dedicated to and in memory of Amber Cook, a light within the board gaming community that was lost far too soon. We love you, Amber. Hello and welcome to episode 221 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to fairly divide your Halloween candy haul. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about goodie gifts. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Stamp Swap, Typeset, and Sausage Sizzle. Then, we submit to consumerism and start helping you plan for your holiday shopping now, since the holiday season begins earlier every year. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambi
and Crystal.
Recently, I got a review copy of Stamp Swap, which is a game published by Stonemaier Games, designed by Paul Salomon, art by Connor Gillette. This is a I split you choose stamp collecting game. The theme is stamp, like postage stamps that you're collecting. There's a lot of different types of stamps. The stamps are all little like cardboard pieces and they have like different themes and stuff, like monuments, which my kid is super excited about because my kid really likes monuments. The game is for ages 14 plus. So it's not for my kids. 1 to 5 players, 20 to 60 minutes. I played this twice. I played it once with 3 players and once solo, which I don't usually play solo, but I actually recorded a playthrough of it, which should be on YouTube now, so you can watch that. But the solo is quite different from the multiplayer. But in the game, it's I split, you choose. You're collecting stamps and trying to get different scores. There's different scoring cards that are going to be different each game. There's one about color, one about theme, one about like shapes and stuff. And then there's a final scoring. So like the different scoring could be like you want large rectangles and you get 3 points for each large rectangle stamp. Or like you pick one color and you get 2 points for each group of 2 stamps of the color you have. So when you get the stamps, you place them onto a board that's like a grid and you have to kind of like place them. So there's some spatial placement for scoring only because like you get scores for groups of stamps, that's stamps that are touching each other. Or the final scoring is usually like groups of empty spaces or something, like empty groups, which is like stamps surrounding an empty space. So it could be like the shape of that or the number of those. I like that spatial part, but it depends on the scoring cards. So it's not that much spatial placement. It's like not that hard to do the spatial placement. But what's interesting is like the scoring, you get to choose what scoring you do each round. There's going to be 3 rounds in the game. So the way the round works is there's the collecting phase. So in multiplayer, you're collecting stamps, you're drafting stamps. So you're taking one at a time, you pick which ones you want. There's also specialist cards that do special abilities. So you're taking the stamps, and then of the stamps that you have to cut them into 2 piles. You can reserve one for yourself, so you just get that one, but then you cut the others into 2 piles, and then there's an I split you choose phase where everyone will be taking a pile from someone else, and then that person gets their own pile, the other pile. So in the solo game, there's like a bot that does some calculation. It like appraises each stamp and then it takes the one with more, but then there's like a card draw that could take away some of the appraisal tokens from the one with more, so it won't always take the one that has more value to it. So there's like some uncertainty there. You can't just game the system. But so the solo game actually felt kind of like I split you choose with that, which I was surprised because usually that seems like a multiplayer game.
Right.
Mechanic.
I would have never guessed that there could really be a meaningful solo I split you choose.
Yeah. Although like the way you split is different because in the solo game, the way they appraise it, the stamps have different values on them too. Like some of them have 2 points, some of them have negative 2 points, some have a lot more. And so like in multiplayer, no one's going to want the negative ones, but with the bot, it doesn't really care what the value of it is unless it's a rare stamp. But like all the values are the same. It just cares about like the shape of the stamp, and then it scores differently based on just the number of stamps. It doesn't score the negative points on the stamps. So the splitting will be a little different in the solo. Like you value it differently than the bot does. But I guess in multiplayer, there's also like special things that you have that score on each board. You're going to have a certain type of stamp that scores. So you still value things a little differently than other people, but for the most part, you're scoring similar things. But then on the scoring phase, you pick one of the 4 or five, I think, oh no, there's four different scoring cards on the table. And so you pick one of them each round to score, and you can't do it multiple times. So you're like, once you pick it, that's it. So like, as you go in further rounds, you're going to be scoring more for the thing because you have more stamps. So like, if you pick the color now, then you score that many points. But like, if you get more of that color later, then you kind of wasted that scoring opportunity for like having more of those colors. So you have to like decide which one you're going to score when. And everyone's doing that. So I thought it was good. It's probably not something that like I'm super excited to play or anything. And I'm not much of a solo gamer, but I enjoyed the play. It felt more puzzly solo than multiplayer, which I think probably is true whenever you're playing a solo game versus multiplayer. But yeah, like I was impressed with the bot with solo, but I don't have much to compare it with because I don't play that many other solo games with bots. Although I might start doing that more because like I filmed a playthrough and I might start doing more of that on YouTube. But you can watch that to see how it plays. Yeah, if you like I Split, You Choose and spatial stuff and the theme of stamps, it's like very nice production quality. It's got an insert for the stamps, like each type of stamp. It tells you where they go in the insert. So it's like nicely put away and stuff. So that's nice. It's a lighter game and like more casual. So it's not like going to be a super competitive I Split, You Choose Euro game or anything. It's just like a quick, lighter, fun theme game. So yeah, that was Stamp Swap from Stonemaier Games, designed by Paul Solomon. I got a review copy of it. And you can watch my playthrough.
Awesome. The next game we're talking about, you and I both got review copies of. And that is Typeset. For those watching on YouTube, we just did a little simultaneous reveal of the box. For those listening in just audio, you're missing out on not much. Don't worry. So Typeset, as it says on the box, is a press your luck word game where you are all typesetters working to build words with the letters that become available to you and putting them onto your printing press and trying to make the highest scoring words possible. And generally, that just means the longest words possible. So during the game, you'll draw letter tiles out of the box or off the table, however you want to draw them randomly. And then when a letter is drawn, all players add it to their board using their dry erase marker on the leftmost spot of one of the rows. Then they have you have a bank of vowels that you can use to add to your words at any time as well. And you have to cross them off as you use them, so they are limited use, but there are a number of them that you have available to you. And you draw five letters. There's a special ability card that you get each round as well. You can use that. There's ways to earn bonus, or what is it? What are the wilds? There's ways to earn wilds during the course of the round.
I don't remember.
Use immediately if you get them. And then after every five letters, basically a player can choose to be done or not. If you choose to go on, you have to go through the next five letters drawn out of the box. You can't just like draw three more and then be like, okay, I'm done now. So that's where the push your luck comes in, is that you have to do a set of five letters every time you choose to move on after a set. What did you think about this one, Ambie?
I liked it more than I thought. So it's like a roll and write kind of, like a flip and write, because has dry erase and you're like flipping tiles and then writing down, and there's little bonuses you get. So I'm not a big fan of roll and write games, so I wasn't really expecting much, but I enjoyed it. It's like that mixed with the press your luck. And then it actually, the special abilities, there's a special ability each game that like, there's a whole deck of special abilities that are used.
There's a lot of them.
Those were kind of thematic, because like there was one that, the one ability where it's like you say you can use a letter as like the rotated letter, so like a U could be a C or something. So like you're a typesetter, you're like, if you run out of letters, they would do that. They would like rotate the stamps and like put them in, so like a U could be a C or an M could be a W, right? So that, like, I don't know, we didn't read all of these abilities, there's a lot of them, but like they've seemed thematic to the theme, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so I liked it. I mean, I don't know. I'm still not like a big fan of roll and write, so I don't like it. Like, but for a roll and write, I liked it. I was pretty bad though. Like, I'm in the Wordle five letter word mindset. So like all of the words I was thinking was five letters, but you want to do like seven or eight or something. I don't remember the maximum.
Seven, yeah.
Seven. And so like I was like, oh yeah, these could all be words. And I'm like, wait a minute. After I do three letters, I'm like, shoot, I want to do a seven letter word. And then it's too late. So yeah, I didn't do very well. But
so you're kind of touching on, so I want to say, like, I did not dislike the game, but I love word games. I love roll and write games, or, you know, rando writers. I love a lot of what this game appears to be. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't dislike it, but it felt very meh to me, which is such a bummer. And that might be because I went in with too high of expectations. But kind of what you were saying, it felt that at a certain point, it didn't feel very exciting anymore, because at a certain point I had already started most of or all of my words, and I already had an idea of what they were going to be. And so at that point, I'm not being creative. I'm just looking for what I need. And that doesn't feel necessarily fun as much, right?
Like, yeah, that's like the press your luck feeling. And it kind of, that part kind of dragged on a little, because then you're just waiting for the letters that you need to come out. So, yeah.
Yeah, because you can pass on some letters. You do have a number of errors that you can circle. Yeah. You don't lose points for the first two errors, but then you start losing points if you use more than that. But yeah, like at a certain point, I was just like, okay, well, I can use these vowels for free, and then I can trigger a wild to put another letter here, and then I can use that special ability to add another letter, and now that word is done, and now I kind of, like, I felt not bored per se, but just not in enthused. And I think that was where I was kind of like, that was a bummer, because I was I like the concept of this game so much. I feel like it's just a little too light, or there just needs to be a little something else there. I've mentioned, I think at least briefly on the podcast before, that I've played the much heavier and very different game Gutenberg, which is also about printing presses. And that game felt like I was taking printing press tiles, like letters, and actually, like, that felt like a printing press. This feels nothing like a printing press to me, which is okay. Some games, you know, they have a theme and it doesn't really feel like it, and that's fine. But this one, I'm bummed, because it was a miss for me and I really wanted to love it.
I can see how it did drag a little. I think it was kind of longer than it should be, I think. But I think our group mostly enjoyed it. Toby does not like dry erase markers, dry erase games. So he says, like, before we started the game, he's like, the max score this could ever get is a 7 because it's dry erase. Because he doesn't like, that's how much it knocks it down.
Yeah, that's his ranking.
Yeah.
Highest then automatically.
And then after we played, he gave it a 7. So that means he liked it. But it's still dry erase, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, and yes, I should have specified that Typeset was designed by Jasper Beatrix and published by DVC Games. And we did get both of our copies as review copies, which we're very grateful for. And I really wish I had liked it more. Last game I'm going to talk about today is another real quick one called Sausage Sizzle. Sausage Sizzle originally came out in 2012, but just got a new printing that I believe came out at Essen in this year, 2024. Designed by Inka and Marcus Brand, who you all have heard us talk about multiple times in the past. But this game is, I would say, not quite their usual wheelhouse. It is a very light dice rolling game, and it is also a push your luck game. In this game, you have a number of critter tiles, each with a different color and a different critter on them, and then you have two sets of dice. One set has numbers on it, and the other set has the symbols of all the critters on it. And you roll all of the dice, and what you're trying to do is get as many of a single critter together with the critter dice, and a high value, as many of the high values on the other dice as you can. But the numbered dice also have sausages on them, and that's why this is called Sausage Sizzle. It's an Australian-themed game, because apparently a sausage sizzle is a thing in Australia that they do. It's, I assume, similar to, like, a barbecue or a cookout. And the sausages on the dice count as ones, which are very bad normally, but if you can get all four of your sausage dice to show sausages, then that value becomes a 7 instead of a 1. And so when it's your turn, you roll the dice up to 3 times, I believe, similar to, like, Yahtzee-style rolling, and then you score one critter at the end of your turn, and then the play goes to the next player, and you just go around and around till everybody has scored all 6 critters. You can only score each critter one time, and then you get points, you add them up, and see who the winner is. Very simple, could be played with kids, fairly young. This is one of those ones that I would throw in my quiver or my backpack and just have as like a, hey, we're sitting around for a few minutes waiting for so-and-so to show up for this other game. Let's play this. I adored it. The artwork is adorable. The little press your luck is so much fun. I won't lie, we were yelling the word wieners a lot when we were playing, which I am a child, so that was enjoyable because, you know, just the like, the, anytime somebody would roll any of the sausages, we'd all be like, wieners! So, yeah, it's just great. So, I plan on picking up my own copy of this game. I played someone else's, but yeah, if you like quick, light, push your luck dice games, Sausage Sizzle has the crystal seal of approval, and I really love it. I have to admit, Ambi, I used to be one of those people that would walk into a store in September and see Christmas decorations out and be like, what is wrong with people? You know, like I would freak out. I'm like, it's not Christmas time yet. Now you walk into stores in July and August and it's like Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's all out already. Like everything, time has no meaning anymore. And honestly, I've just come to, I'm okay with it. I don't care. It's fine. You know what? People can like what they like. And if they like Christmas, let them enjoy it all year round. If you want to keep your tree up all year, I'm fine with it. Just, yeah, enjoy it. It's good. Whatever. We need some joy in our lives. So do you do you, boo-boo. But in the spirit of consumerism, since today, the day of this episode's release, is Halloween, I believe we are entering into what most people would consider the official holiday season. Mm-hmm. Like, we're heading towards Thanksgiving in America and then Christmas. And we don't typically do, like, gift guides, like, officially here on the Blitz podcast, but we are going to, right now, well in advance of Christmas, give you some of our favorite kind of smaller games that we think would make for good gifts. So we're calling them goodie gifts. We were going to say, like, stocking stuffers.
It's not just stocking stuffers. It could be other things.
But, like, stockings are a very Christmas thing. Yeah. And so we wanted this to be a little more approachable for other holidays as well. So goodie gifts is what we're calling them. Like, you could put them in a goodie bag for a birthday party. Yeah. Or
trick-or-treating bags.
Oh, yeah. I mean, today's Halloween, so you're going to need to hurry last minute. If you're doing that. Yeah, like, really, like, go now. But, so yeah, we're going to just talk about some of those.
Yeah, so actually my kids had a birthday recently, and for their goodie bags I gave away copies of Spot It, also known as Dobble. It's Spot It in the US, I think. This is a card game. It's like a speed card game. Each card has 7-ish icons on it, and then there's exactly one that overlaps with each other card. You can look at the math behind it. There's like a YouTube video on the math behind Dobble. It's like pretty interesting, but anyways,
it's wild. It still blows my mind.
Yeah, but anyways, like you're trying to find the math matches on each card and be the fastest. And there's a lot of mini games, but they have a free print and play version of it on the Asmodee site. I think they call it Dobble on that one. And there are also lots of generators online where you can generate your own Spot It, because if you have 30 something icons, then you can make your own cards. And so I did that for my kids with things that they like, and then print it out and cut a bunch. The cards are circles though. And cutting a bunch of circles by hand is not ideal.
Because you can't use a paper cutter for that.
So I gave those as goodie bag things for the kids, because that's a good game for kids and for goodie bags. And like, since you can customize it, you can make it for any holiday or for like anyone specific to a person for their birthday or something. So I think that's like a really good goodie bag gift, or like a gift stocking stuffer gift, because yeah, if you're making it for a specific person, you could do things that they like, or like if they like traveling, you could do like places that they've been to, like different, like a bunch of different icons. So Spot It is a nice gift that's like easy to customize.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I like that one a lot. We've talked about more times than I can probably count a lot of our favorite series of small box games. Mm-hmm. You all have heard us talk about the 18 card games from Button Shy Games that you can order online. And they also do have print and play versions of some of those online as well. Mm-hmm. So those are easy to get a hold of. I don't know if I've run through any of my favorites in recent past, but Circle the Wagons and Revolver Noir, those two are my favorite two-player games from Button Shy. Sprawlopolis is good with one person, two, three, or four people, which is wild to me still. Tussie Mussie, super fun. I mean, the solo mode is fine on Tussie Mussie, but I prefer it with more people because it's a game of passing flowers back and forth in basically a way of communication. Are there any Buttonshy games in particular that you really like, Ambi?
Well, I've only really played six now. So okay. The ones that you haven't mentioned are Rove and Rove Jr. Rove is a nice solo game. It's a puzzly solo game. And then also Food Chain Island is another puzzly solo game that I like. And then Rove Jr. is like Rove, but easier for kids. And so my kid actually liked playing that and could play it. So
maybe I should try Rove Jr. because Rove was tough.
Yeah, Rove is tough. Yeah, Rove is easier. There's also a new one, Aqua Rove, which I think it's called Aqua Rove. So it's also simpler than Rove, or like easier. Not simpler mechanically, but it's easier, I think. I haven't played that one though. But yeah, like okay. I had printed and played five different ones because though they go on sale on Black Friday. So they might go on sale on Black Friday again, and I might get some more. But the print and plays are like $1 when they go on sale, so that's nice.
You bring up a really good point, Ambi, in that a lot of board game publishers have dedicated sales on Black Friday. And I think when people think about board games, obviously, it's really awesome to be able to support your friendly local game store if they're having a sale. But if there's a publisher that you particularly like, if you've never really shopped directly from their website, Black Friday is probably a good time to take a look because most of them do sales on Black Friday. And when you're buying direct from the publisher, you know that you're supporting them without any of the middlemen taking a cut, basically. So yeah, if there's some games that you've been looking for specifically, and also so it's funny, sometimes games will be like out of stock everywhere, but then if you go to the publisher's website, it'll just be right there because it just does. It has it's out of stock in distribution, right? But then the publisher still has it. So yeah, y'all mark something on your calendar for Black Friday if you're looking for board game deals, because that's gonna be a good time to get some.
Yeah, I'll have to remember to get more Buttonshy because I have some more on my list.
I would say based on recent trends, some games to keep an eye out for goodie gifts would be trick-taking games. They've have been having a moment the past couple of years, and it doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon. There's been some really unique trick-taking games coming out, and I think trick-taking kind of spans generations and genres in ways that other game genres don't. You know, I grew up with my parents playing trick-taking games with their friends, and I play trick-taking games, and my grandparents played trick-taking games. So even though these newer ones may not be familiar, if you have family members who like playing, you know, older style card games, I think it might be an easier sell to get them into a trick-taking game, even if it is a newer one, just because it is a card game. Like, it's just like Pinochle, right? Or whatever, you know, they're used to. You can maybe get them in as a starting point. Some of the more recent trick-taking or shedding games that I've really enjoyed, Cat in the Box, Fork, and Wicked and Wise are a few of the ones that I've really enjoyed in recent past, but there's so many right now that are out. Like, you turn a corner in board game land and you're gonna find some trick-taking games.
Yeah, and on the note of people who are into regular card games, you could probably also do like decks of cards that are nice, like with the nice art. Like Beth Sobel has a deck of cards, right?
And yeah, then, is hers available still to be bought anywhere? I don't know.
I don't know. But there might be other ones out somewhere. I mean, there probably are. There's also some games that just use a standard deck of cards they're like published games. So it would be familiar to them because like, oh, this looks like a standard deck of cards. So like Regicide is a standard deck of cards. It's a cooperative game where you're playing down cards in order to attack the kings and queens and stuff. But yeah, so it's just a regular deck of cards, but it has like cool art on it, and then it uses an app that will be familiar because people know, oh, okay, this is an ace. Like, I know these cards. Right.
There are also a lot of small box card games that are just at this point like quick wins for just about any audience. No Thanks is a classic that we've talked about a number of times. Fuji Flush is also a modern classic that I just recently played for the first time that I now can start recommending heartily because it is also awesome. For Sale is a really good one that everybody seems to like. And that one's neat because you only have to teach half the game up front because the second half of the game is different, and you don't need to know how that works to play the first half of the game. So it's an easier, it's a very quick
teach. Well, I mean, it's not that hard to teach this.
Well, it isn't, but I'm just like, if you have people that do not like learning games, and it's like pulling teeth to get them to sit down and learn anything, that one, you could just be like, it's just this, and then play the first half. Okay, now it's just this. So, like, I've played with some people like that who just start tuning out the rules explanation immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're not rude or dismissive necessarily. They just cannot, right? Like, they just rules explanations, their brain immediately starts wandering. So I like games like that. Some other card games that I think are approachable and also fun as gifts would be Herbaceous, where you're planting a little herb garden. High Society, where you're trying to look like you're very, very rich, but not be the poorest money-wise at the end of the game. And Abandon All Artichokes, which has really cute art, and you're just trying to get all of the artichokes out of your deck of cards. You start with a lot of artichokes, and you're just trying to get rid of all of them. And that one's real fun.
And if you want a newer small box card game, there's The Gang, which came out this year. It's a cooperative poker. Yeah, it's like cooperative poker, basically. You're trying to cooperatively figure out who has the best hand between you all in Texas Hold'em, which is neat. Also, we got to talk about Holiday Hijinks. Like, we just mentioned them last episode and got review copies of Watch. But
we would be remiss if we did not mention them again.
We love escape room games, and they're small 18 cards, fit easily in a pocket or a goodie bag or whatever. And like, we just found out in the interview that he made them as Christmas card things. Like, that's how it came
about. Yeah, they were literally
giving it as a Christmas card gift. So
if you haven't listened to our last episode, which was our interview with Jonathan Chaffer, please go back and listen to that episode. It was really insightful. It was nice to hear how he basically puts an entire escape room into 18 cards. And so I highly recommend you go back and listen to that. And also, if you're liking hearing us do interviews, let us know. We are planning on doing some more in the near future, and we would love to hear how you all are liking them as kind of an addition to our format.
And then if you're on more of a budget but have access to a printer, I've talked about print and play stuff a lot, but like, there's a free print and play escape room Christmas card called Elf on the Stealth, which I think I've mentioned before. I did a playthrough on Twitch a long time ago and made a little overview video of it, but it's still available, I think. But it's basically a Christmas greeting card, but it's an escape room. So you print it out, double-sided, and it has little puzzles on it, and it's free. So you could make as many of those as you want to give out, and you could send it as like a holiday card, which is neat. And I think that's what it was made for as well. And there are also like a lot of, I think making a postcard type game is a common exercise for designers. So there, if you like do some searching around, you could probably find quite a few postcard print and play games that are available for free. Roll and Writes are also, there's a lot of free Roll and Writes available. So like, if you have a printer, then like, you could print out any of these games and give them as gifts. And like, if you're on a budget, yeah, a lot cheaper.
Absolutely. Since it is still a decent amount of time until most of the gift-giving holidays, we would love to hear from you, our listeners. What gifts do you love to give, especially the small ones that are easy to shove into a gift bag or a stocking? Hit us up on social media or in our Discord. If you're not in the Discord yet, come on. Like, what are you doing? We've got game night. We've got lots of fun discussions. We play Jackbox games. We do board games on Board Game Arena. Come on, just come join us. It's lots of fun. And you can tell us about your favorite games to gift.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. You've heard everyone talking about it, including during our 2023 Blitzy Awards, and now you can pre-order the second edition of Last Light at grayfoxgames.com. And don't forget that Blitzketeers get 20% off non-exclusive items by using the code BGBLITZ24 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, this is the end of the podcast song. Each of them needs just one, so Blitzy it will appease. Bye, everyone!
Bye. What did I name it? I called it something.
Goody Games or something?
Goody Gifts. Okay.
Oh, Goody Gifts, yeah.
Okay.
We don't have to call it that. Like.
Nope, it's too late. It's happening. I wrote it down.
But yeah, like okay. I had printed and played.
We both said the same time. Cough break.